been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello there, Ravens Nation. How does it feel to be on top of the world again? What's going on? Welcome to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Joining me as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, you're right. Top of the AFC North, 5-2. It feels great, my friend.
Absolutely. So let's talk about this game this past weekend up against the Atlanta Falcons. I was lucky enough to be there. I had a great time. It's been a little while since I've been back to the bank. But let's start off even before the game actually started. How cool was it to see the Ravens honor Buck Showalter and the Orioles right before the game?
As we always talk about on the call, it's great to see the two bird teams intertwined together and enjoying the spotlights. And it's been great, man. It was great. They did tribute well on the Jumbotron to the AL East champion Orioles and the divisional series champion Orioles. And again, we would have played game one recording tonight on a Tuesday. It would have been game one of the World Series. Instead, it's Orioles and Giants. It'll still be a great series. I would have loved to have been there for game one or possibly game two tomorrow night. But it was great to see the electricity and the energy that we feel in our passion. What showed there is our passion for our Baltimore sports, and it's intertwined when we shout our O in the national anthem. We're just a very blue-collar, passionate about our sports town right now. And in Charm City, we love our birds. We love our Ravens accordingly, and it shows, man. It was great to see Buck tip his cap in tribute to the season, and let's see what that happens next year, man. But again, you know, with the Ravens looking to aim to their own division crown as the Orioles did, 5-2, AFC North, top of the heap, looking good right now.
Yeah, absolutely. 5-2, that's a very nice record to have right now. Let's jump right into it with this Atlanta Falcons game. A couple injuries coming out of it, which is not good, but overall, I want to say this team performed very well. The Atlanta Falcons, they've been compared to the Ravens. Of course, we know the history between Joe Flacco and almost becoming a Falcon and Matt Ryan as well. So we know that this team gets compared to each other a lot right now. But this game, they looked great. They looked dominant. They really came out guns a-blazing. Everybody was on their game. Joe Flacco played great. Justin Forsett played great. Terrell Suggs looked amazing. Doomerville looked
great.
The coolest thing about that play was the fact that Terrell Suggs did not get the safety on the play before. And you could tell after he got up that he wanted safety big time.
I'm sitting right there. I said, you know, he wanted that one. And he got his own redemption and tried to number two. He got it, man. It was great to see.
Yeah. So that was really great to see. And Terrell Suggs threw the football as hard as he could into the stands. So I'm sure he's going to get fined for that. But overall, this team looks great. And the only thing that worries me right now is the fact that even on ESPN, when I was at lunch today, said the Ravens are the team to beat right now. Now, when the ESPN is saying that the Ravens are the ones to look out for, man, that worries me because ESPN normally does not have nice things to say about the Ravens.
Well, it also says, yeah, you're right. They never had normal things to say about the Ravens or any nice things. But you know what it says? It says that either the league is weak this year or we're legit. And I've spoken all weekend long after that win. I said, it's us, it's the Colts, and it's the Broncos because the Patriots don't scare me. Everybody in the AFC North is a concern. Steelers are up and down. The Bungles are bungling right now. We'll get to that in a minute with a preview. And it's like I said, the Ravens on the rise. If they got out of their own way in week one, they had the game. If they got out of their own way in Indianapolis, which I saw, again, they had put the couple pieces together. When they stick to Ravens football, boy, does it look pretty. And when they don't, boy, does it look ugly. So, again, 5-2 record. Looking back at the scheduling, again, you know, you're not going to go 16-0. So, two losses out of seven games. I'll take it. And we got two straight divisional games coming up. And it was great to beat Atlanta. I said before, you know, the dirty birds from the south are coming up beating the nasty north birds. And we won, and we won decisively. Another blowout win with an NFC South opponent 2 weeks in a row. It felt great. It could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot as worse as the 48-17 shrubbing of their counterpart divisional foes in the when I see that in the Atlanta Falcons division of the Buccaneers. It could have been a lot worse, but a 20-0 halftime lead, I felt great. Again, my concern with this is the defense got lax again like they did in Tampa Bay. When they got that lead, we went to that pre-event zone and putting everything in front of them, and Atlanta marched right down the field. Mm-hmm. That is concerning, because if that happens in a close game, you guys got to, you know, you got to play for it again. We've covered this before. Is it resting the players? Is it giving them a break? I don't know. But when it called for it, man, everything's a blessing in disguise. You know, who'd have thought that when Ray Rice got in trouble, Brandon, you know, how about a rushing game and with Pierce is coming off an injury, and Justin Forsett, he's right now the fourth leading rusher in the NFL. Fourth leading rusher in the NFL right now. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's really great to see. Forsett, who I read online last week that he was actually going to retire from the NFL during this offseason, and the Ravens decided to bring him up, and look what he's doing. I mean, he is really just playing some great football. Let's go back to the defense real quick. Like you brought up, the Falcons were able to march down the field and were able to get a lot of stuff done. Again, I got to look at the cornerbacks here, because you look at safety and you look at that part of the defense. Jimmy Smith and Lardarius Webb, both of those guys had their fingertips on a couple balls and looked like they missed so many chances for interceptions. I mean, it was either hitting them in the helmet or hitting them in the chest or just hitting their fingertips. When you have the chance to make those kind of plays, you got to go all for it. You got to make those plays, because if the game were a little bit tighter, that could have changed everything.
Could have changed everything, and I think we need to check their fingers for any butter residue, because they had it on the fingertips, man. Hit them right in the breadbasket. Jimmy Smith had two of them. At least one looked like a pick six from Robinson, because if he'd have caught it, I don't think there was any Falcons in front of him down the sideline. And again, you know, there's a concern there, Ned. There's no concern. Just got to make the play. But the defense played extraordinarily well, putting pressure again on Matt Ryan. How about two huge fourth down stops? It was fourth and short both times. The first time they stuffed the run on the right side, left side where I was sitting in the stadium. And then the second one, they just put the pressure on it and just put Matt Ryan flat on his back, and it was just, man, the defense just brought it all day. They introduced them. They were wearing all black on Sunday, and the energy was just awesome. I really just loved seeing the defense swarm around the ball, and flipping over the offensive side, Owen Daniels, Justin Forsett, two great key additions in this offense, key factors this year, with Pitta going down and Ray Rice being out of the picture. You know, who'd have thought that these two guys are stepping up, and they're right now providing the offense and a breath of fresh air. And we already know what Steve Hinton did. We already know what Torrey Smith's coming to his own, and he caught yet another touchdown. He could have had another one. And with that being said, with the interceptions on the flip side, Joe Flacco, I had no concern. I mean, he was trying to force the ball in there. Torrey should have done a better job of swatting the ball, playing defender there. The safety over the top, ain't nothing you can do. They were going for the end zone. Again, one of those risk-reward plays. And the inside slant, that was one of those bang-bang plays. It's a time route. Three-step drop. He's looking for the receiver to be there and get open. If the receiver was there, and it so happened to be the defender did a great job and cut it, and I saw it from where I was sitting, it was either going to be picked or defended well and deflected and ended up being picked. But with those turnovers, the defense actually did the job and held them. So with that being said, the turnovers, again, negated. I mean, through two touchdowns, two interceptions, no concern on those, because they are going to happen. If you throw the ball, you're going to get picked off sooner or later. It's just how it is. You run the ball a lot, you're going to fumble it sooner or later. I mean, you want those not to happen as often, but going through the game, you're not going to go, you know, five touchdowns and zero interceptions every game. It's just, it's unreal. It never really happens. I mean, even the greats of the greats, Peyton Manning's thrown two or three picks a game and still won the football game, decisively throwing three, four, five touchdowns. So it happens. I mean, but with that territory come said, a great, great team win, 29-7 drubbing. It was just one of those breath of fresh air aha games again, where it was like total domination. And like John Harbaugh said in the locker room, that's how you suffocate an opponent again. And we just took it down to them, and we're not letting these close games get away. We're showing teams we mean business, and we coming out. And remember a couple weeks ago, I think we talked about it for the Tampa Bay game. I don't know what game we talked. I think it might have been the Panthers game, because we've had two good blowout wins this year. Remember we talked about how run out the score and versus, you know, the softness rule. Remember that discussion, Brandon?
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to touch base with that again, because Mike Smith was actually asked about that in the press conferences, and he actually agreed with our opinions when that is, hey, our defense's job is to stop them, and they just did a great job executing, and we didn't. So, again, even the head coach, Atlanta Falcons, understands that's their job. All right, we pay these guys on defense, and we scheme up these plays, and we practice well all week. We got to stop them. We game plan for it. And if they can't stop Joe Flacco, Joe Flacco could have, you know, he could have thrown another touchdown or two. I mean, it's the same way with the Buccaneers game. He threw five. What's him to stop him throwing 12 in a game? I mean, it's, again, you know, you got to stop it. So, I mean, there's a difference of rubbing it in and versus scoring high. And, you know, we always had those discussions. But, again, Mike Smith put that to rest. And he congratulates us. We, you know, they didn't execute, and we played flawlessly. And it's flawless we can do. We had a couple mistakes, but overall, pleased with this team at 5-2. And I remember us panicking when we lost in Indy at 3-2. Hey, win in next games, and we're right back in it. Three games above 500, 5-2. Five out of seven games. I'm loving where we're at right now. And the Bungles, man, that just brings us right in the segue. How about a 27-0 loss to the hands of the Colts, man? And then even the Browns lost to the Jaguars, and Jaguars got the first win, and then the Steelers. I don't know if it's called lucky, or I don't know what that was last night with the rally on Monday Night Football, but they were down 13-0 early, man. It looked good, but Pittsburgh won. They're 4-3, and we play them in 2 weeks. Before we get to that, we do have another showdown in Cincinnati against the Bengals, who we opened the season with a loss with at home. They're getting some guys back healthy. AJ Green's slated to come back. Brandon, this is going to be a pivotal stretch run for our team here. Looking at it, we could go anywhere, man. We can be 7-2 after beating Cincinnati Steelers and have a stranglehold on a 4-1 division record. Right now, destiny's right here in front of us in 2 weeks, because we come home in 3 weeks again to play the Titans before a bye week. So right now, these 3 weeks, this is going to set up for November, late December football, and maybe January football in Baltimore with a division title and a playoff game. So, again, you know, you don't want to look big picture here. You always want to look week to week. But right now, I'm tickled to death by how well the Ravens are playing. And you're right, a lot of national media are actually starting to look at us again. You know what? They're playing high football right now. And a lot of, other than the Cowboys, maybe, who've won six straight after opening season loss, other than the Cowboys and, you know, maybe the Broncos with their offense, and the Broncos are beatable too. And again, it sets itself up, but we got to get to Cincinnati. It's going to be a one heck of an AFC North war again in Cincinnati. We know how they go, man. We know how they go.
Yeah, the opener up against the Bengals was definitely one that I'd like to forget. But we still do have some of those things to kind of be concerned about. I wanted to bring this up about the game up against the Falcons. Look at what Jacoby Jones did again, fumbling yet another return there. He's starting to scare me this season, because we know how well he can play, but he really has not shown it at all this year. And two mistakes in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, he's really made some very, very rookie mistakes. So when you go up against a team like the Bengals, even though they've come out hot and then they kind of cooled down, this is still a division rival. The Bengals know us very well, and we've seen what they can do to a team like us, like the Ravens. So I really want to know, like, Because of what we happened in the past and what is we're going to Cincinnati, so we won't have a home team advantage at this point.
Right.
What are the Ravens going to have to do to beat this kind of team, even a team that is kind of cooled down? What do we have to do to beat these guys offensively? Because right now, with guys like Torrey Smith and Jacoby Jones not having the greatest season so far, that's going to limit the offense to Steve Smith, Owen Daniels, and Justin Forsett. And if the Bengals know something like that, then they're going to be covering those guys and knowing those plays are coming down the pike.
Well, I think that's what happens with any divisional game. You know, you play guys twice a year, and you play them, you know, most likely the most you can. And if not, with the Steelers case, sometimes third times if we meet them in the playoffs. So it comes with that familiarity of the defensive schemes and the offensive schemes within a division. You get it's, again, game plan for the Bengals, you know what they bring. We saw them not even 6-7 weeks ago in opening day. We know who they are. We know what they bring. We just got to game plan accordingly and play Raven football. You know, not abandon the run on the road, not get rattled, overcome the turnovers and win the turnover battle, and just do your jobs. Harbaugh always talks about that. Just do your jobs. You know, the team, and do your jobs. It's, you know, you're out there in Jacoby. You know, you got one job. Catch it and run. it, don't be fair catching it. Be hesitant. You know, if you're going to catch it, catch the ball. If not, get out under it and let it hit their player and let them down the ball. It's just ridiculous. You know, the blockers are doing well. Justin Forsett's running like a workhorse. Breath of fresh air with coming in with and switching him out with Bernard Pierce. And then Talia Fair at the end of the game was great. Bernard Pierce got the touchdown this past week. It was great to see. And the receivers, you know, just know the routes, run them. Defense, apply pressure. One of the biggest, and this is the key factor I'm looking out for again in this game, Brandon, is the pass rush. They did not get to Andy Dalton at home in week one. It was, and he had all day to throw, and it showed. And every time he blitzed, he countered that with a quick pass. And I really hope to see that change come Sunday. And the way we're playing, it's totally two different teams, man. We're 5-2. They started 3-0. Now they're 3-2-1. Technically, three straight losses, if you ask me. So, you know, they're not looking so hot, and we can put that three out of four losses with a tie in there, if they're not careful. And we're riding high, and the momentum's changed. You know.
Yeah. Let's talk about defense here a little bit. Of course, we know the secondary is a little beat up, but Cincinnati didn't have Lardarius Webb to contend with during that first week, so that'll be nice to see Lardarius Webb up against this team and what he can do. But I wanted to ask you as well, with the addition of Will Hill, he did dress this past Sunday. He was on the field for a few plays. I didn't really hear his name a lot. I didn't really notice him as it was up in the stands. So I feel as if he didn't make a huge impact. But if he does play a lot of this game up against the Bengals, what kind of trouble is he going to bring to the offense of the Bengals? Is he going to make an impact that we didn't see this past week? Or do you think he's still, you know, learning this system and kind of laying low?
Of course, any new player is going to learn the system. I wouldn't say laying low. I mean, if they're going to fluff them in a starting position or want a third down nickel package or anything they have, of course, the Ravens are confident. They always put the best 53 men on the field at the time. And if he's active and ready to go, then he's active and ready to go. And I've heard great things already in the whispers from the press conferences and what John had to say and what the coaches had to say. Again, you know, they're not going to add a player if he's not up to play like a Raven potential. They're not going to add a player and put him in the starting position if he can't perform. I mean, John Harbaugh, he put Lardarius Webb back there last time Jacoby Jones fumbled it. So, again, if these players don't start performing, I mean, again, you know, there's a difference between star power and the difference between performing week in and week out. And I think, well, he's going to provide that dude for the look, because Cincinnati's not used to his playing style. They didn't see him in week one. They haven't seen him at all. So they're going to have to count for him and how he plays, how his style, how his coverages are. So it'll give us a new look on defense. And then with Webb back, I mean, they're familiar with Webb, obviously, because being a Raven and that history, but and playing against him before. But with this year, brand new season, I think with the defensive schemes, secondary, I think, will hold up. Jimmy Smith's playing out of his mind. Matt Elam's been okay since the start of the season. He's done an okay job back there. I have no concerns as of yet. And he almost had a pick himself. And poor guy thought he had it, and then he juggled it and lost it. But again, it's just these plays right there. They're making the great plays. They're breaking up passes. And which if they held Roddy White and Julio Jones to virtually nothing, I'm confident, man. I'm very confident going up there and coming away with a win and being 6-2. Very, very confident. And on the offensive side, run the football. It all starts with running first. They abandoned it way too early in Indianapolis, and that's what led to the downfall, man. It's Justin Forsett, again, we had the fourth leading rusher in the NFL through the first half of the season. You know, and there's some prestigious names up there, man. DeMarco Murray's up there. Aaron Foss was up there. And you have Justin Forsett sitting at number four right now, total yardage from scrimmage through rushing, per se, rushing, not passing, but rushing. So, again, you know, and with the line's doing a great job blocking, man. And Flacco really wasn't rushed on Sunday, which is great, and that allowed the blocking lanes. And speaking of that, blocking, we did lose a long snapper, Morgan Cox, unfortunately, man, to a suffered ACL tear, man, and he's done for the year. But the Ravens were quick to strike. They signed long snapper Kevin McDermott, who is a former 49er. He is slated to start on Sunday. He started as a rookie in his rookie year, so there's experience there. Niners offense isn't no slouch, and he's been to the postseason, so he has that experience. And it's that mentality, man. Play like a Raven, next man up, and I think McDermott will fit right in there, man. And I met Morgan several times. Nice guy, awesome guy to be around, and have a lot of great things to say about him. And it's really, really unfortunate to lose him for the year. Prayers are out to that for speedy recovery. And again, you know, next man up, and Kevin McDermott should be a good addition.
Yeah, very sad to hear about Morgan Cox. He's a guy who's been with the team for, I think this might be his fifth season, if I'm not mistaken, maybe his fourth. And he's a guy whose name you don't really hear a lot, and that's a really good thing, because him being a long snapper like that, it means he's doing his job if he's kind of laying low and he's not really making headlines. So very sad to to lose him. And, of course, he is the third member of the Wolfpack. You know, with
he's a second-year player, by the way.
Second year, yeah.
He started last year, a rookie year. And John Harbaugh's quoted saying he's a guy we're very familiar with. So, you know, John Harbaugh, you know, they know the Niners. You know, we've seen him a few times. We've seen him in the Super Bowl. We've seen him in regular season. We've seen him in preseason in the last few years. So it is what it is. Again, you know, he's a Raven now. We're congratulating him on a new start in the purple and black. And it starts with a heavy divisional battle, man. And now, with like I said, with the Steelers getting in the Colts on Sunday and us getting the Bengals, things could be really looking interesting with the head-to-head matchup next Sunday night after the Bengals game. So obviously it's going to be a fun 2 weeks. It's always fun, man. And again, you know, through seven games, I was just talking to somebody about this, and I'm like, I'm kind of upset, man. Everybody's like, why are you upset? I said, it's already week eight of the NFL season, man. We've been through seven games, and this stuff goes by too fast, man. This season, this will be the halfway point of the games, halfway point of the season, and I'm not too happy about that, man. I wish we can rewind in it, and this would be the Bengals game in week one, and we were getting fired up about it, but we can't complain with a 5-2 record. And I just posted this earlier, and believe it or not, Brandon, man, if the Ravens keep this up, you understand that since 2007 and when in transition 2008 season, John Harbaugh, Joe Flacco, Ray Rice, and all company came in the drafting, and John Harbaugh was signed as a rookie head coach, we haven't endured a losing season. And you talk about the Orioles' success on how the 14 straight losing seasons, and then now to the last 3 years, they made the playoffs, and they've had three straight winning seasons under Buck Showalter over there at Camden Yards. And then now with Harbaugh, I mean, they had an 8-8 season last year, and they would have won one more game. They would have made the playoffs and had 9-7, and they could have done it. They were in a few of those games. And I'm very proud of this organization. I'm very proud, man. I mean, a lot of, again, because I heard some complaining, even though we won 29-7, and we're 5-2. I still heard complaining. You're going to get that. I've always said, joked and said, if you go 16-0 and win the Super Bowl, you're going to find complainers out there. Oh, okay. Well, now they're doing great. And I really can't complain about this organization. I never will. And because dark days would come, you know, there might be a time we're going to cover on the call and we're starting the season 0-7. We're like, man, where's our first win? But remember those days, man, we're a winning football team. We're a winning franchise. And me and my buddy were talking about this after the game, after, you know, the whole Matt Ryan, Jeff Flacco update, the debate, I should say, update, the battle. And right now he texted me right after the game and said, dude, our quarterback's a clear, true winner, man. And he even said on record that it could happen, that he could have a second ring. I said, that'd be epic, man, because it could happen, man. We always surround these guys with some good, wholesome players, and this team is in competition year in and year out for the playoffs. The Ravens are always mentioned the same breath of Super Bowl contenders, and it just gives you chills. It gives you excitement. I love it, man. I love being there every year and being in that talk saying we're among the best in the AFC, the cream of the crop, and the AFC North is one of the toughest divisions, and it just gets that much tighter with how the things shape up during the year. So it starts in Cincinnati, man. We got to take care of business, and this will be a statement game. They've already stapled this as a statement game, but I think the statement will be in Cincinnati when – we put them to a four straight loss technically with the tie, and we have our winning streak intact. I'm telling you, man, we have a two game winning streak to keep intact, and this will be a third one. And I'm telling you, man, this Cincinnati matchup, this is going to be the one to watch.
So what's your prediction for the game this weekend? Obviously, it seems as if you're going with a Ravens win, but what do you think the score is going to be?
27-10 Ravens.
27-10. All right, so you think it's pretty decisive? You think there's not going to be now, the defense is really going to do their job this weekend?
Again, from the last 2 weeks I've seen, I mean, they did that on the road against Tampa, and everybody says it's Tampa Bay, but here's the thing. Tampa Bay went to Pittsburgh and beat Pittsburgh. I mean, that's something. We go into Pittsburgh next week, so on a primetime game. So that's something. You know, I've always said this. You know, well, we trunched the Panthers, and the Panthers were win a war and end up tied with the Bengals. The Bengals beat us. It's the NFL, man. It goes around, comes around. And these teams can beat anybody on any given Sunday. I mean, we went 12-4 the year, and we had a Monday night loss, an embarrassing loss to the Jaguars on Monday Night Football, and we still made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And we went to the divisional round, so I don't know why anybody's complaining about it. It happens. But that's why I think it's not going to be close. I think the momentum is just there. I mean, the Bengals looked defeated after that tie. They were like – and then they went – they tie, And then they go and don't even score a point against the Colts, where we should have beat. And it was right there, and we only lost to the Colts by 7. And the Colts play the Steelers this week. So, it, again, you know, there's a close eye on the – instead of matchups. You have to watch the matchups. And the Bengals right now, if you look, and it's not even on paper, but if you just look at their demeanor and the way they're playing, they started season 3-0, and they don't even look the same team. Again, they're the Bengals. They're bungling. And I think it was Chris Carter or somebody on ESPN who said that. It was the Bengals. Well, they're the Bengals. You know, that's what they do. They start off hot, and they just taper off. Mm-hmm. And they haven't even won a playoff game in how many years. It's just, again, they haven't shown me as a divisional opponent anything to be worried about right now. I wasn't worried in week one, and that was a close game. And then I was like, okay. And then they even beat the Atlanta Falcons decisively at home like we did. And it was like, okay. And then they had a third straight win. I'm like, okay, maybe legit. Now look at them. If it wasn't for a tie, you know, they beat 500 football. And then there's just reason for me concern. So, you know, the cause for that 27-10, that I would say that settles my rant for that one. Yep, my 27-10 Ravens, I'm sticking to my prediction. Joe Flacco is going to have a couple touchdown passes. Of course, that's going to have the lone rushing touchdown.
Awesome, man. Very good stuff. So that's Josh's pick for this Sunday. I think the Ravens are going to come out of Cincinnati with a W. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. I think since the Bengals know the Ravens pretty well, they're going to put up a little bit of a fight. Yep. But the Ravens are still going to stay strong. This isn't like week one. I think they're going to have their heads on right, and I feel as if everybody's going to do their job. So the Ravens,
I feel this team's focused. Yes. Brandon, I feel this team is focused. I think Harbaugh's got them zoned in. And, I mean, yeah, they've had a couple hiccups, again. But with their losses, they were less than, you know, what? You know, they lost by 7 in Indianapolis, and they even lost by less than that against Cincinnati. That wasn't even – again, you know, the Ravens convert one of them touchdowns, they win. The Ravens are inside the 5-yard line twice in Indianapolis, twice, and come away with 3 total points. You even change one of those to a touchdown or 2, we either tie or win the game. Like I said, we were right there. We didn't play horrible. You know, we didn't throw 4 picks, and we didn't get beat 38-10. We beat the Panthers 38-10. We beat the Buccaneers 48-17. We beat the Falcons 29-7. We beat the Steelers. So, and then we beat them decisively. Our wins have been decisive. Our losses have been close. That to me is encouraging, and that to me is confidence, and that to me is determination. And this team's lasered in, man. I've been listening to the press conferences very intently. I've been listening to the locker room speeches. This team, I'm telling you, they're zoned in, and they got a mission, and they're going for the playoffs for 6 out of 7 years, and I'm fired. I told you after Sunday's game, I couldn't wait to record. I'm fired up. I was even looking at Raven stuff today, and I just can't wait to get after it, man. Cincinnati at 1 o'clock. I really can't wait, bro. You awesome. Got one fired up guy over here, man.
That's right. All right. So we're going to wrap up the show now, but before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, you know what this means. It's the end of the show. Another episode of The Call is in the books. But we can continue the conversation. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash, and you can tell me everything you love about the Ravens. Tell us if you disagree, if you agree with what we've said. Let us know. Be social with us, because we want to know what you guys are thinking out there. Let us know that you like The Call. And hey, check this out. We had over 1,000 downloads last week.
Yes, thank you guys. I really appreciate that. That was exciting.
Yes, that was really great. And I want my Twitter account to reflect that. So I want all you 1,000 people out there, I want you to come follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash, and let people know about the show, and let me know that you listen to the show. And let me know if you like the show, if you hate the show, what we can do to improve it. If you hate me, if you love me, whatever you want to do, let me know what's going on. Let's continue the conversation, because that's what podcasting is all about. It's all about conversations. And you know what? Even if you tell me I do suck, I'm not going to stop, because this is the best job I ever had.
That's right. The best job we've ever had, man. That was a great movie. Speaking of Theory, by the way, got to go see that, guys.
Yeah, great, great new movie.
There's a little plug for the movie, because it was awesome.
Yeah, best job I ever had. So,
best job you've ever had.
So, Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can tweet to me at Italian GQ52.
All right, very cool. So if you want to continue learning about the call, learning about what we do here from Brando Cash Entertainment, go to BrandoCash.com. You get information about this show and all the other shows from Brando Cash Entertainment. Go over to Facebook.com/BrandoCash, and you'll get notified, like us over there, whenever a new show comes out, whether it be this show or What the Puck or our Christmas show that we do as well. Go over to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast, and you can like us over there, and you'll get information about this show whenever a new show drops. So make sure you go do that. Now, it is 2014. We have talked about this so much, man. There is nothing free in this world. And hey, the holidays are coming up, so you know you got to
Christmas.
Yeah, you know you got to save every single dime that you make to buy everybody all these kind of presents. So what are you gonna do? Save some money. Don't listen to ads on other people's stuff. Listen to our podcast. It is free. It is commercial free, and we are always talking about the Ravens, and it's whenever you want to listen to us. So you can download us, save us for your drive to work, save us while you're waiting in a store, save us while you're working out. Whenever you guys want to listen to us, we are here for you. All you got to do is download us. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Now, what we want to do, we hit 1,000. We want to keep going to want more, over 1,000 downloads. We want 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. We want 13,000 downloads. We want all the downloads we can get. So you guys got to help us out with that, okay? You got to let people know about the call, okay? So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. And anywhere you are social on the web, let people know. I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. We're 5-2. We're number one in the world, or at least in the AFC North. I love the call, and I want you guys to as well. So let people know about the call and help us out. So here we go. We got the Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to Cincinnati on this weekend at Sunday at 1 o'clock. So, Josh, get us ready. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much. And to all who download, I much appreciate that. Me and Brandon appreciate it very much. With that being said, divisional opponent, Sunday, 1 o'clock. Cincinnati is the site. Man, I can't wait. 6-2 is our goal. I think we got it this time, guys. I think we got it. Like I said before in the show, this team is lasered in. This is focused. I've seen this Ravens football team a lot of times in my heyday, in person, on TV. Can't remember countless times, but I'm telling you, Joe Flacco zoned in. Justin Forsett zoned in. The defense is zoned in. And Harbaugh's got us playing at a high level, and I believe we will be coming out of there at AFC North first place still with a 6-2 record. And we're going to take that from Cincinnati and show them that, hey, the start of the season, you guys may have had your fun, but the Ravens, we were coming back for more, and we're going to show you. So again, it's going to be Ravens, Bengals. Who is it going to be? Another AFC North big battle come Cincinnati. Let's go, Ravens. 1-2-3, fly high with a divisional win.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly, from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.